Last announcement of the night. I'm officially announcing I'm back. You are a fucking nobody, Roman. You're a moron.
Cut the horseshit. Know your role.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first fucking thing my son's ever done right in his life.
Is it whiskey time?
Shut the fuck up.
Vince. Here's to us.
My lawyer used to work for the Justice Department. Who's your lawyer? Mr. fucking Magoo?
If your hands are clean, it's only because your whorehouse also does manicures.
Happy Christmas, you clock-watching fucks.
Romulus, when you laugh, please do it at the same volume as everyone else. We didn't get you from a hyena farm.
Thanks, Bob.
I love you. But you are not serious people. That's about as choreographed as a dog getting fucked on roller skates.
Yeah, have you heard of dick pics, Dad?
Well, we do publish a number of popular newspapers, so yes, son. We probably invented the fucking words.
I think this is it.
Logan, have you thought about the possibility that your children are actually scared of you?
Oh, fuck off. Why don't you pipe down until you come and tell me I've got a grandson coming? Hmm? Or are you shooting blanks?
Play it smart today, you won't look a cunt tomorrow. Would you like to hear my favorite passage from Shakespeare? Take the fucking money.
It's war! Fuck off!
Oi, gente! Bem-vindas, bem-vindos ao Já Viu, temporada 3, episódio 14. Eu sou o Fabiano Liporoni. Este aqui é o seu podcast preferido do terror. Tenho curtido, acompanhado e coberto o Fantasia Festival, festival canadense de cinema de gênero, de terror, ficção científica. Se vocês me ouvem aqui, vocês têm percebido o quanto eu tenho visto de filme bom. E um dos filmes mais legais que eu vi no Fantasia esse ano é um russo banido da Rússia chamado Empire V, do diretor Victor Ginzburg, um cara que eu sou fã desde os anos 90, e eu tenho a honra e o prazer e a felicidade de entrevistar o cara. É uma entrevista exclusiva, feita online, via Zoom. O cara é o máximo. Quando eu contei que eu era de São Paulo e que eu tinha visto o primeiro filme, nos anos 90 ele lançou um documentário que se chama Restless Garden, que é um documentário sobre o florescer sexual da Nova Rússia, da antiga, quando mudou da União Soviética para a Rússia. Ele filmou a pessoal pirando sexualmente. É um filme maravilhoso, passou na Mostra de Cinema de São Paulo. Ele veio para a exibição na Mostra, foi o primeiro filme dele. E eu contei para ele que eu tinha um pôster do filme que sumiu nesses anos todos. Ele ficou de me mandar um pôster novo. E agora ele está lançando seu terceiro filme. Ele demora para filmar. Em 2006 ele lançou o Generation P, que eu não assisti. E agora lançou em 2013 Empire V, Império V. Um filme de vampiros menos sangrento de todos, mas talvez o filme de vampiros russos mais político de todos. O Putin, cara, proibiu o filme, baniu o filme da Rússia. E o filme ia ser lançado ano passado na Rússia com um marketing pesado da Sony. Tava há meses já trailer nos cinemas, pôster em tudo quanto é lugar. E 10 dias antes do filme ser lançado, teve uma pré-estreia e o Putin mandou alguém para assistir, alguém da comunicação dele, e ele ficou bravíssimo com o filme e proibiu, baniu, não é que ele proibiu, ele baniu o filme do território russo. Mas o diretor Ginzburg me deu uma notícia quentíssima, que o filme vai ser lançado pela Sony em todos os outros territórios que já foram União Soviética, todos os países que já foram da União Soviética, menos na Rússia. Então o Putin vai ficar mais louco ainda, porque tudo quanto é país em volta da Rússia vai passar em Empire V e na Rússia não vai passar. O filme é um absurdo, assim, é a história de como os vampiros que existem na Terra desde sempre criaram os humanos para serem seu alimento, e só que ultimamente eles cansaram de tomar sangue humano e inventaram uma nova forma de conseguir a energia do ser humano, e eles desde sempre eles mandam na Terra, e a forma deles mandarem na Terra é que eles mandam, comandam e fazem o que querem com os ditadores que existem pela Terra. Então, adivinha se o Putin não achou que fosse uma bela de uma alfinetada no meio da testa dele, né? O filme é o máximo, é, assim, grandioso. A história é maravilhosa, é um universo criado em volta dessa história toda, que é peculiaríssimo, assim, eu nunca vi nada parecido com isso. Tem umas referências aqui e ali, obviamente, mas a história toda, e a gente vê a super vampirona, mãe de todas, louco, filme violento, filme sarcástico e político, que a gente tanto ama, né? Então, assim, eu tive o privilégio, e agora eu tenho outro privilégio, de postar essa entrevista com o Vitor Ginsburg aqui no Já Ouviu, seu podcast preferido de cinema e de vampiros. Vamos lá, aproveitem, beijos e mandem comentários. A entrevista está em inglês, gente. Eu vou traduzi-la depois no blog, mas por enquanto fiquem com ela em inglês. Estava um inglês bem macarrônico meu, assim. Mentira, tá bom. E dá para entender tudinho. Se tiver uma noçãozinha de inglês, você entende. Valeu, beijo, até daqui a pouco.
Good. I like those pictures on your walls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's for me to look like an interesting people.
Well, it looks good.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thanks for allowing me to interview you.
Oh, of course. Thank you for reaching out. Yeah.
I watched the film and I love it very much. But there's a but. I love your work since the 90s.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I live in São Paulo, Brazil.
Oh, my God. You're so Restless Garden.
Yes.
Oh, my
God. Yes, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Restless Garden is it was in the 90s. I don't even know how to say what it was. It was a very successful cult indie movie, and everybody wanted to have the poster of the film, and we had a party at a nightclub that we used to call Restless Garden. It was
kidding? That's so great. I wish I knew. Wish I was at that party.
You would love it. And I used to work for the film festival, for the São Paulo Film Festival, with Leon Kakoff and Renato. It was brilliant. I talked to some friends of mine that loved your film at the time and used to go to the party that I was gonna interview you, and everybody, send him my love, and everybody loves you around here.
Oh, that's great. I love that festival. I have the best memories of that festival. Yeah, it's happening. Are you still involved with that festival?
Yeah, I know everybody. And next, not next week, the other week, I'm going to have a meeting with them to talk about the films I watched at Fantasia Festival and other films I watched around the world, the year. And of course, I'm going to tell them about your film. And I hope they reach out to you, because I bet it's going to be a great comeback for you to São Paulo.
That's amazing. I'd love that. I'd love that. That's great. Yeah, I have the best memories of São Paulo. You know, that film, Restless Garden, we could, because there was so much nudity, as you remember,
Yeah.
and it was that era of political correctness in the United States and in Europe. So even though I went to all these festivals and it played theatrically in like a few theaters in LA and New York, it was never released anywhere. So
Wow.
it sat on the shelf for 30 years, whatever it is, and maybe 20, whatever it is. And then this festival, the biggest documentary festival in Russia, reached out to me, and the director of the festival remembered the film, and he said, let's show it. So we restored the print, made a beautiful DCP, and it screened in the biggest movie theater in Russia. It was packed. And it just blew everybody's mind because there's a lot of young people there that had no idea that
What
like
they were
this.
expecting.
And then now it actually just premiered on a Russian language platform, streaming platform, which is kind of an opposition. It's called VOTVOT, VOTV, VOT, dot TV. If you anyway, but it's Russian language only, but it's actually finally out there. It's amazing. So it's amazing you bring this up. God,
And
wow.
you must be so proud about that as well, to
Oh,
have your
yeah.
in Russia finally.
Oh, yeah. I'm very happy. I'm so happy that it, because I thought it was just going to stay on the shelf forever. It's like nobody. And then it's a new kind of life, new life for the film. Yeah.
And I used to have a poster of the film, and someday somebody came to my place and I don't know, took it away and never gave me back, as people do.
I'll make sure you get one.
Oh, that would be so.
Yes. Send me your address and I'll
Thank you
get you
very
posted.
much. Thank you
Of
very much.
course. Yeah. Of
But
course.
let's talk about Empire v Man. What a film,
Yeah.
what a concept. And what I was blown away about so many things on the film, and I wish I can soon, hopefully, watch it on the big screen,
Yeah,
because
it's a different experience. It's a different
I bet
experience. Yeah.
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep thinking, this morning I was at a university where I teach cinema, and I was talking about your film, and I said my dream is to see the that scene where when the new vampire walks and sees the old vampire, the old bat vampire, huge bat vampire waiting for him to talk. And I said, yeah, I can only imagine that on the big screen. That must be brilliant.
I'm sure you will see. I'd love for you to see it on the big screen. Also, all the kind of hallucinatory
Yeah,
scene,
oh yeah, of
yeah,
course, yeah.
they're like really trippy on the big screen, and with the sound, it's just there's a lot of sound stuff going on too, yeah.
I have a 60-inch TV here where I watch the film. It's not so bad, but
Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah.
And well, the first thing I have to ask you about is it still prohibited to be shown in Russia?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's banned in Russia. Yeah.
Then,
But banned. But this is just brand new news, and you'd be the first one to break it, actually. It's Sony is releasing it in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and Armenia and like all the former Soviet Republic, because they had the rights for the entire former Soviet Union. And so the Russia fell off, of course, and then they're releasing it on August 24th. So, yeah.
That's great. And in America and in Brazil and Europe, do you have already sold the rights?
No, we haven't. No. We have a sales agent who is going to start selling, I think, I think he's starting to sell it in Toronto. So, we're getting creating some sort of critical mass for the movie, you know,
Okay.
and with the reviews and you know, sort of, you know, he's so that's the plan, you know. So he's
Well,
holding it off. Yeah.
okay. Let me tell you something. I posted last week about the film on my platform, and I write about the film. I do a written review, but I also do a video review on TikTok in
Oh,
Portugal.
nice.
In
Oh, the
Portugal.
Portuguese.
Yes, and it's 60 seconds or less about the film. Every film, every day, I post a review, a written and a video review. And on TikTok, I posted like 7 days ago, maybe 6 days ago, and I already have 38,000 replies on the review,
Wow.
asking about where they can watch the film.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And it's funny because films like yours that they are not released yet. People think that I'm making up the review, that I haven't seen the film. And some people say, oh no, you just watch the trailer. And I said,
Right.
trailer available here in Brazil doesn't even have subtitles in English or anything. It's like
Right.
just Russian trailer. And I couldn't translate that. My Russian is not that well. So it's already a big sensation on Brazilian TikTok.
Wow, that's brilliant. Will you send us a link?
Yeah, of course, of course,
That would be great. That would
of
be
course.
great.
Yeah.
And there is a trailer, you know, there is a trailer with English subtitles, just in
No, I
case.
have it. I have it. I posted
Okay.
on my preview, on my review. I posted, but
Okay.
it's just people, haters being haters, you know.
Right. Of
So,
course. Of course. Yeah.
but I'm sorry to be such a fan, and
Don't be sorry. Thank you. I'm just, you know, this is very
no,
nice.
I wanted you to tell me about how you got to the book. Empire V, and I read that it's like a continuation for Generation P,
Yes.
and I haven't seen Generation P. I looked for it, but I haven't seen it.
Oh,
So,
it's on. I'll first of all, I can send you a link to Generation
oh, I'd
P.
love that too. Yeah.
I think it's, you know, important because there is a connection, because basically is, and by the way, it should be on iTunes and Google Play, just in case,
Oh
so you
yeah,
know.
okay.
It should be there for
Okay.
Brazil, but in any case, we'll send you a link on YouTube. But the you know, the main character at the end of this story basically asks, who is in charge of all this? Who's in charge of all this insanity that we live in? Who rules the world, you know? And it really is the end of the film is really that kind of question mark. You know, there's more to the end of the film, of course, but that's one of the themes, is like who is in charge of all this? And also the whole sort of Babylonian cult and the goddess Ishtar is introduced there as this kind of mystical theme in the film.
Okay.
Again, it's not resolved, you know, and it's kind of this cult. And cult of gold, you know, cult of wealth, and you know, and when I was in post-production, I was almost finished with Generation P. Pelevin showed up, which is a very rare event. You know, he's kind of he's a complete recluse. He doesn't give interviews. He's like totally outside of.
Where does he live?
Well, nobody truly knows where he lives, but I know that he happens to live in Asia, you
Oh,
know,
okay.
and he happens to, you know, he loves Asian culture, and he's kind of halfway Buddhist, and you know, very, you know, so he showed up and he's literally put a manuscript on my desk and said, this is the sequel,
Wow.
and this is where you'll find out who rules the world.
Wow.
And this is, you know, you'll meet Goddess Ishtar. You'll actually meet Goddess Ishtar in person, you know. So I was like, I almost had no choice. You know, it was like, once I
Oh,
read,
I'm so sorry for you.
That's funny. So yeah, that's how they're connected. So it's kind of a philosophical sequel, you know. It's not a straight sequel, but it is a sequel of sorts. You know, they do relate to each other.
And on my review, I said that the film was about vampires, but not the film that we used to watch about vampires. It's more like a philosophical film about vampires and how they live today and how they got to be here and everything. And this is one of the things that I found the most interesting about your film, because it's not a bloodbath. I was expecting a bloodbath. I don't know why, because maybe we always expect a bloodbath on vampire films. And I said, and when I watched the trailer, I said, "Wow, this is a huge one. There's gonna be blood all over." But it's really almost funny to see how little blood, how few blood we see throughout the film. And I think it's very I was talking about with my daughter as well, because she's 29 now, but she used, when she was a teenager, she used to love the Twilight movies about the vampires. And I said, imagine something like Twilight, but being well directed, well written, and with a philosophical point of view about not with the comparison was about not having too much blood on the film.
Did she watch the film? Did she watch the film?
she loved it. She loved
She
it.
loved it. Good, good.
And she has because of me and her mother, she has a very peculiar she had a very peculiar upbringing. She loved her when she was about, I don't know, 6, 7 years old, when people used to ask her, "Oh, what's your the film that you most like?" And instead of saying Snow White or something like that, she used to say Interview with the Vampire. When she
No, that's so funny.
was 8 years old, we had to make her a birthday party with Interview with the Vampire theme, you know, with cutouts
Wow.
she's
She
that.
was,
And she also works with cinema. She's an assistant director. She's very good.
Oh,
She
okay. Wow.
went to Cuba to study cinema. She's a good one.
That's the toughest job in film. That's interesting.
I teach cinema and I write about cinema, and but I make money writing cinema. I am a script writer,
Oh,
and
you are? Oh, interesting.
I write cinema and TV series. And I used to direct also, but nowadays I prefer just to write and let you guys have all the dirty work.
The fun, but no, just oh, well, I maybe actually I. The actually the most difficult work job in cinema is writing, of course.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Assistant directing comes next. So that's great. That's great. You got a lot of depth, Fabiano. Yeah, that's wonderful.
But let's go back to your film, and what are your if you do have some references, what did you watch before filming when you were working on the script and everything?
Kubrick.
Oh, great.
You know, it's like I don't really, you know, people have asked me, you know, what references and I was thinking about it. I was like, no, I didn't really watch any vampire films. In fact, I didn't want to watch any vampire films.
But I wasn't expecting that, you know.
It was really like, you know, it was about ideas and it was about satire, you know, and of course beauty, and you know it's kind of it's almost like, you know, Clockwork Orange is more inspiring for me towards, you know, is more of a reference for me in this film than anything else, for example, you know. Not to say there's a direct relationship, but I'm saying that's an inspirational stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Would turn to, you know. And of course, people have noticed that, you know, Eyes Wide Shut, the ball, of course, there's a relationship. Although, of course, it's in the book, so it's not like I came up with it. You know, yeah. I think Pelevin was actually referencing it in his novel to Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay.
You know, and so I had to actually create something completely different from Eyes Wide Shut, you know, and not go there. And, you know, so it is quite a, if anything, I wanted to stay away from that reference, you know, but it's, of course, it's there. Of course, it's there to begin with. Yeah. And of course, you know, the thing that was, you know, was great about the novel and what intrigued me immensely was this reinterpretation of the entire genre of, like, you know, putting it, you know, just, you know, here's a completely new
perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a door that you opened that a lot of things can come on this new perspective, you know, for people not to expect the bloodbath all the time on vampire movies. And this is brilliant for me. And you said about the ball. I remember the first shots from the ball was when they were entering the space. And I was, and we can see the statues, the golden statues. And I said, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be great. Like, artistically, with the art direction and everything, this is going to be good. And did your DP, your director of photography, send my best regards, because there are some shots there that I said, wow, this is a very good guy to study about. And
he's great. He's, you know, this is the second film I made with him. Generation P, he also shot.
Okay.
And it's very different in style, very different. And he's not a stylist. He's kind of like this amazingly, what he does with light is just this incredible clarity. and you know, just, you know, he's not a stylist. You know, uh-huh. There's something, he just captures the shot in you know, as you can see, there's very little sort of stylized lighting in the film. You know, it's very clear, it's very kind of, you know, realism. Yeah. it's kind of like magic realism, you know. Yeah. And I love that about his work. Yeah.
It's more like some classic light, we can say.
Exactly, that's exactly right. Yeah, he's a classic, he's a living classic.
Yeah. And I think it's great because there's so much happening on the film, and when you take a deep breath and keep focusing on the lightning and the lights and the camera and everything, you say, wow, there's also this happening on the film. And the soundtrack, right. it's like a very well driven symphony, like as you as the maestro, and putting everything together that happened so brilliantly. I'm still amazed with the film, and I'm sorry to be such a
this is so great. I mean, you know, it's funny you said the word symphony, because that's how I always talk about a film. You know, it's like, I literally, that's like my word, you know. I swear to God, I was like, you know, until it is a symphony, you know, a great film is a symphony. It's like Beethoven, who sort of, you know, I think I was, it's not my original thought. I can't remember who said that, but it was, Beethoven, you know, is the beginnings of film, of cinema, because prior to that, there was no symphonies. There was no, you know, three act structures, you know, and sort of, yeah. So film is a good film is a symphony.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Anyway, right on, Fabiano. Yeah.
Thanks. And so now you are on tour or not tour, but releasing this film. But you already have a next project in mind.
You know, honestly, I have a few in mind, you know, and, you know, I talked about Snuff to a couple of journalists because, you know, it seems to be the most relevant kind of, you know, it's in my mind. It's on my mind, you know, I mean, and, you know, it's a beautiful story. It's a very complicated story. Pelevin is very complex. You know, it's another Pelevin story and kind of stuck with this guy. I don't know what to do about it. It's like,
oh, you're a very lucky guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's kind of, you know, it's a story in the way it's a Lolita story.
Okay.
On the surface, you know, it's a sci-fi. It's completely, it takes place in the future, post-nuclear, and the main character is a drone operator, the super drone operator, and he, and his love interest is an android.
Wow,
isn't that? It's a beautiful, beautiful girl who has all kinds of settings. Yeah. and it's like it's advised not to touch the settings, the factory settings.
Okay,
but he does.
Of course, he does.
and all kinds of wonderful, crazy stuff happens.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And then the other, of course, the other theme is the world where it happens, and the world where it happens is where the elite actually now lives on this. Something called Ofshar, which is a city suspended over the surface of the earth, and because the earth has been devastated with wars, and they entertain themselves by starting wars.
Wow.
Between these primitives that live on the ground, you know, and it's I'm giving you a very basic description of this.
Yeah, but I can already imagine everything.
Yeah, yeah, it's wild. It's completely wild. Wow. And it's kind of very much about the war that's going on right now, you know.
Okay.
That we're watching on television and like a football game, you know.
And how did you manage to shoot the film in Russia? Of course it was planned to be shot there and then now it's banned. How did that shift so radically?
Ooh, just like, you know, it. Listen, I mean, the world changed so radically in a day, you know? So the same thing happened to my movie, really. Nobody saw it coming, you know? Nobody saw it coming. It was just, you know, the release was being planned. I mean, Sony was the advertising campaign was full steam. I mean, every movie theater in Russia had posters of the film. Trailers for a month or more, I think 3 months, they were running trailers.
Wow.
You know, and all the Sony films, every Sony film had a Empire V trailer.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was, you know, there was the country was waiting for the movie. You know, and then we had a press screening, and the next day, the film was supposed to be released a week after the press screening. The day after the press screening, it was banned. You know, yeah.
Wow, and you didn't think that it could happen.
I didn't think it could happen. It was out of the blue. It was just too bizarre to even imagine. I mean, you know. It was too far-fetched, you know, and what can I tell you? It happened.
Yeah,
it happened.
Yeah. Well, it's a great story to be told a few years from now. Yeah. The story is being told now, so...
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But it's brilliant. I don't know if you have so much... time anymore, but
you know, if you want to continue to, you know, Fabian, I love talking to you, so if you need more time, you know, if you want to discuss more, feel free. I will hook it up. Okay.
So let me ask you about the casting, all the actors and actresses. I don't know most of them. I was looking up for some of them, of course. And how do you get to those actors in particular? And do you do screen tests or anything? How does it happen with you?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like, I have this concept that an actor has to take the role from me. It's like, I don't want to give it to you. You know, it's like, I do a lot of tests, you know, and it's almost like I need you to come in and just take it, just take the role, you know, and, you know, it's the casting went on for a couple of years, literally. Oh. Literally a couple of years, especially with a girl, because I couldn't find that, you know, out of, you know, I needed a girl that's kind of out of this world, you know, sort of really somebody very unusual and not a typical beauty, you know, not a typical, you know, somebody with a soul and so we had a casting call. I tested every actress, I think, in Russia, you know, and it was very coveted. It was a very coveted role. So it was like I was being, you know, lobbied by agents and all of this course. Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we did this casting with a fashion glamour magazine. And we did a countrywide casting call, and we put out a piece of a monologue from the film, which is that first letter, the video letter that Hera sends, you know. So, and we got hundreds and hundreds of girls to respond to us and record. Basically, they recorded these monologues, and that's how I found her. So I found Hera, you know, literally.
She's brilliant, and every time she appears with a new haircut and something, and it's brilliant. Very good, very good. And Ishtar, who is she?
Oh, she's amazing. She's a great, great Russian actress. And she was, you know, I don't know if you remember the film called Moscow Doesn't Believe in Tears.
Oh, yeah.
So she was the lead in that movie. She was
just
quite young.
One second, please.
Yeah. Staley, are we okay to postpone a little bit with the other guys, with the other people?
Yeah. I've let them know that this interview is running a little bit longer, and yeah, it'll all be good.
That's good. And then, you know, if need be, we can set up another time with Fabiano to.
It could be, if it's okay with you.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
anyway,
sorry.
We can keep going. I just asked Staley.
So okay. So about the actress that does Ishtar.
Yeah, she's just a brilliant, brilliant actress, and she's just, you know, I couldn't stop shooting her. She was that great, you know. It was amazing, and the shooting of the scene was very difficult because she was suspended on kind of a swing, you know. It's like she was suspended in the air. She was sitting on the swing, you know, that was being moved, and she was obviously in a green, you know, costume, you know, and she was being moved by this stunt guy around, you know, because she was obviously had to move with the neck, you know, and it was very physically very demanding to, you know, spend, you know, day, you know, we shot it, I think, what, three days we shot it, I think. So, you know, and she was just amazing, amazing. It's like old school.
We can see that. Know?
Yeah. Sprinted. She was also,
as we say in Brazil, printed.
The what? Sorry?
Printed, as we say in Brazil. We can see on the film. It's there, yes. How amazing she was, yeah.
She's brilliant, and she's a, you know, she's a now a widow of a great Russian actor who was also in Generation P.
Okay.
You know, Vladimir Menshov. He's also a director, very famous guy, brilliant. So there's this brilliant couple, and he died, and he was really very supportive of my film when I was trying to make it. And unfortunately, he died before we started shooting. But anyway, so there's all kinds of connections, you know. Yeah.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
So I'll let you work the whole, through the day. And if we can talk some other time, I'll, your people, your PR team have my email and my phone. And if, I'll talk next week. I'll talk to the guys from São Paulo Film Festival about your film. And I have connections with other festivals here, and I'll definitely talk about your film.
Great. Great. I'd love to. Yeah.
Maybe we can meet here in Brazil, and I'll take you to some lunches and dinners here.
I look forward to it, Fabiano. That'd be great. Yeah.
And I'm going to post this interview on my podcast, and I'll send the links for the podcast and the TikTok video and everything.
Right on.
Portuguese, but you can have a glimpse of what you're being expected here in Brazil.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. Staley, could you send all my contact information to Fabiano, please?
Of course. Yeah, I definitely will. I'll do that after these interviews.
Yeah, you've got my email and my phone number, all that stuff, right? Thanks,
yes. Yeah.
Thanks, Staley.
Of course.
Yeah, Fabiano, thank you very much for your
Thank you very much. And thank you for the films in plural, and hope to talk to you soon again.
Yeah, same here. And I'll, if Staley, if you send me Fabiano's information, I can send Generation P link to you as well. So, you know.
Sounds good. Will do.
Okay, great. Take care, Fabiano. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Last announcement of the night. I'm officially announcing I'm back. You are a fucking nobody, Roman. You're a moron. Cut the horseshit. Know your role.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first fucking thing my son's ever done right in his life.
Is it whiskey time?
Shut the fuck up. Prince. Here's to us. My lawyer used to work for the Justice Department. Who's your lawyer? Mr. fucking Magoo? If your hands are clean, it's only because your whorehouse also does manicures. Happy Christmas, you clock-watching fucks. Romulus, when you laugh, please do it at the same volume as everyone else. We didn't get you from a hyena farm.
Thanks, Bob.
I love you. But you are not serious people. That's about as choreographed as a dog getting fucked on roller skates.
Yeah, have you heard of dick pics, Dad?
Well, we do publish a number of popular newspapers, so yes, son. We probably invented the fucking words.
I think this is it.
Logan, have you thought about the possibility that your children are actually scared of you?
Oh, fuck off. Why don't you pipe down till you come and tell me I've got a grandson coming? Or are you shooting blanks? Play it smart today, you won't look a cunt tomorrow. Would you like to hear my favorite passage from Shakespeare? Take the fucking money.
It's war! Fuck off!